a lonely vegetarian, sweep you off your feet like a maid Marian, having fun like a seminarian, await. You say you're a happy Unitarian, laughing in the wind like an old Bulgarian. Hey, by the way, are you a librarian?
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Kisco Library Podcast. I'm Deirdre.
And I'm Maria.
And in this episode, we will be focusing on storytelling to get you ready for the festival happening all over town this weekend.
The Sunflower Story Arts Festival features events for all ages at many different price points, with many free activities too. Free events include Kids Tell It, Stories in Spanish, community storytelling exchanges, and story games including a storytelling scavenger hunt.
Other events which are reasonably priced include Italian folktales and gelato. That includes some sorbetto or gelato for you. Or stories in song and stories of the Kalahari.
To find out more, check out sunflowerstoryarts.com. Stop in at the library or give us a call at 914-666-8041.
Maria and I were just talking about the storytelling traditions in our families. I'm Irish.
And I'm Italian. One of the great things about the festival is going to be the opportunity to hear folktales from all over the world.
So now, we'd like to treat you to a Japanese story called The Monkey and the Boar, told by Natasha from Story Nori. And many thanks to Story Nori for allowing us to use this.
The Monkey and the Boar. Hello, this is Natasha, and I'm dropping by with a story from Japan about a very clever monkey and a wild boar who is even wiser. A boar, in case you don't know, is like a fierce pig who lives in the wild. They have sharp tusks and can charge you, so they are quite dangerous. But like all pigs, boars are highly intelligent creatures. And this story is called The Monkey and the Boar. Long, long ago, there lived in the province of Shinshin in Japan, a travelling monkey man who earned his living by taking round a monkey and showing off the animal's tricks. One evening, the man came home in a very bad temper and told his wife to send for the butcher the next morning. The wife was amazed and asked her husband, "Why do you wish me to send for the butcher?" "It's no use taking that monkey around any longer. He's too old and forgets his tricks, and now he won't dance properly. I must sell him now to the butcher and make what money I can out of him. There is nothing else to be done." The woman felt very sorry for the poor little animal and pleaded for her husband to spare the monkey. But her pleading was all in vain. The man was determined to sell him to the butcher. Now the monkey was in the next room and overheard every word of the conversation. He soon understood that he was to be killed and said to himself, "I never knew my master was so cruel and heartless. I have served him faithfully for years, and instead of allowing me to end my days comfortably and in peace, he's going to let me be cut up by the butcher and my poor body is to be roasted and stewed and eaten. Woe is me, what am I to do? Ah! A bright thought has struck me. There is, I know, a wild boar living in the forest nearby. I have often heard tell of his wisdom. Perhaps if I go to him and tell him about the trouble I am in, he will give me his advice. I will go and try." There was no time to lose. The monkey slipped out of the house and ran as quickly as he could to the forest to find the boar. The boar was at home, and the monkey began his tale of woe at once. "Good Mr. Boar, I have heard of your excellent wisdom. I am in great trouble. You alone can help me. I have grown old in the service of my master, and because I cannot dance properly now, he intends to sell me to the butcher. What do you advise that I do? I know how clever you are." The boar was pleased at the flattery, and determined to help the monkey. He thought for a little while and then said,
"Hasn't your master a baby?"
"Oh, yes," said the monkey. "He has one infant son."
"Doesn't he lie by the door in the morning when your mistress begins the work of the day?" "Well, I will come round early, and when I see my opportunity, I will seize the child and run off with it."
"What then?" said the monkey.
"Why, the mother will be in a tremendous scare, and before your master and mistress know what to do, you must run after me and rescue the child and take it home safely to its parents. And you will see that when the butcher comes, they won't have the heart to sell you."
The monkey thanked the boar many times and then went home. He did not sleep much that night, as you may imagine, for thinking of the following day when the butcher was due to come to the house. His life depended on whether the boar's plan succeeded or not. He was the first up, waiting anxiously for what was to happen. It seemed to him a very long time before his master's wife began to move about, and the open shutters to let in the light of day. Then all happened as the boar had planned. The mother placed her child near the porch as usual, while she tidied up the house and got her breakfast ready. The child was crooning happily in the morning sunlight, dabbing on the mats at the play of light and shadow. Suddenly there was a noise in the porch and a loud cry from the child. The mother ran out from the kitchen to the spot, only just in time to see the boar disappearing through the gate with her child in its clutches. She flung out her hands with a loud cry of despair and rushed into the inner room where her husband was still sleeping soundly. He sat up slowly and rubbed his eyes and crossly demanded what his wife was making all that noise about. But by the time the man was awake and they'd both got outside, the boar had got well away. But they saw the monkey running after the thief as hard as his legs would carry him. Both the man and wife were amazed to see the monkey chasing the thief, and when he brought the baby back safely to them, they could not stop crying with joy and gratitude.
"There," said the wife, "this is the animal you wanted to kill. If the monkey hadn't been here, we should have lost our child forever."
"You are right, wife," said the man as he carried the child into the house. "You may send the butcher back when he comes. And now let's all have a good breakfast, and the monkey too."
When the butcher arrived, he was sent away with an order for some meat for the evening dinner, and the monkey was petted and lived the rest of his days in peace. And that's the story of the monkey and the boar.
Wasn't that great? There are so many interesting folk tales and songs from all over the world, and I think sometimes the most interesting aspect of some stories is what is left out, particularly in old or even new ballads or stories and song. For example, have a listen to this song, "The Blackbird," written and performed by my sister Mary.
"My lady's eyes are emerald, her kirtle is of flame. I have died for love of her, but she never knew my name. The blackbird sings upon the bough, he sings so merrily. Yet never did a man return of all that company. The lords and nobles ordered men to fight in all their wars. My lord, it was commanded me, but I served my lady's cause. We who were but common folk, we did not dare to shirk. Some others fought for Lancaster, and others fought for York. I bore my lady's banner, I held her standard high, and on her crest a blackbird rose high up into the sky. The armies came together, and steel and armor rang, and over all that fearful din the merry blackbird sang. The blackbird sings upon the bough, he sings so merrily, yet never did a man return of all that company. My lady's eyes are emerald, her hair it is aflame. I have died for love of her, but she never knew my name.
Wow, Mary did a great job with that story. And speaking of traditions, there is a great tradition of writing short stories. Sometimes these stories can teach a lesson, scare you a bit, or make you laugh.
Yeah, I've got a story like that by G.K. Chesterton called The Legend of the Sword.
A strange story is told of the Spanish-American War, of a sort that sounds like the echo of some elder epic, of how an active Yankee, pursuing the enemy, came at last to a forgotten Spanish station on an island and felt as if he had intruded on the presence of a ghost. For he found, in a house hung with ragged Cordova leather and old gold tapestries, a Spaniard as out of the time of Don Quixote, who had no weapon but an ancient sword. This, he declared, his family had kept bright and sharp since the days of Cortez, and it may be imagined with what a smile the American regarded it, standing spick and span with his Sam Brown belt and his new service revolver. His amusement was naturally increased when he found, moored close by, the gilded skeleton of an old galley. When the Spanish specter sprang on board, brandishing his useless weapon, and his captor followed, the whole parted amidships, and the two were left clinging to a spar. And here, says the legend, the story took a strange turn, for they floated far on this rude raft together, and were ultimately cast up on a desert island. The shelving shores of the island were covered with a jungle of rush and tall grasses, which it was necessary to clear away, both to make space for a hut and to plait mats and curtains for it. With an activity rather surprising in one so slow and old-fashioned, the Spaniard drew his sword and began to use it in the manner of a scythe. The other asked if he could assist. "This, as you say, is a rude and antiquated tool," replied the swordsman, "and your own weapon of precision and promptitude. If, therefore, you, with your unerring aim, will condescend to shoot off each blade of grass one at a time, who can doubt that the task will more rapidly be accomplished?" The face of the Iberian, under the closest scrutiny, seemed full of gravity and even gloom, and the work continued in silence. In spite of his earthly toils, however, the Hidalgo contrived to remain reasonably neat and spruce, and the puzzle was partially solved one morning when the American, rising early, found his comrade shaving himself with the sword, which that foolish family legend had kept particularly keen. "A man with no earthly possessions but an old iron blade," said the Spaniard apologetically, "must shave himself as best he can, but you, equipped as you are with every luxury of science, will have no difficulty in shooting off your whiskers with a pistol." So far from profiting by this graceful felicitation, the modern traveler seemed for a moment a little ruffled or put out. Then he said abruptly, unslinging his revolver, "Well, I guess I can't eat my whiskers anyhow, and this little toy may be more use in getting breakfast." And blazing away rapidly and with admirable aim, he brought down 5 birds and emptied his revolver. "Let me assure you," said the other courteously, "that you have provided the materials for more than one elegant repast. Only after that, your ammunition being now exhausted, shall we have to fall back on a clumsy trick of mine of spiking fish on the sword. You can spike me now, I suppose, as well as the fish, said the other bitterly. We seem to have sunk back into a state of barbarism. We have sunk into a state, said the Spaniard, nodding gravely, in which we can get anything we want with what we have got already. But, cried the American, that is the end of all progress. I wonder whether it matters which end, said the other. And that's the end of this story.
And that is also the end of our podcast for today. Thank you for listening, and many thanks also to Kyle and the Iliad for our opening song, to Cursor Minor for our closing song, and to you and Natasha of StoryNori.com. Please do check out their amazing website, as well as their sponsor, Audible Kids. We hope to see you at the festival this weekend, and remember, there's a wonderful place you can go for all your storytelling and other information needs.
Learn a lot about the world that we live in the public library.
That's right, the public library. See you there soon.
It's the
bye.
Place where books are free. The library, it's a lot better than watching TV.